Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. Dan, how are you doing today?
I've been pretty well. We were just talking about, at least for these last 2 days, it's been pretty nice here in West Michigan. We know it'll go up and down even tomorrow, but it is nice to see some of the signs of spring and things coming out of the ground that are
things
green.
Things coming out of the ground. I've almost broken my shorts back out.
Oh, yeah. Surprised a little bit you're not in that today, but...
Always dress for the weather I want, not the weather I have usually, or at least that's normally my motto.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is good to be back. Dan, I guess let's dive right in here. What did we talk about this last week?
So we've been making our way through Matthew 4, if you've been connecting with us these last few weeks in the season of Lent, and specifically the temptations that Jesus faces there in the wilderness. And so we're kind of at the end of that text. We went through the three different temptations the devil throws at him, and then wanted to pause on the last verse where the enemy leaves, but then the angels come, sent by the Father, and attend to Jesus there. And so we talked about God's provision largely. We had touched a little bit on, you know, the power of Jesus in dismissing the devil there and that authority, which is a big part of God's provision for us. But just seeing how the angels provide all the things that the devil tempted Jesus to kind of provide for himself or force in his own timing. And whether it was the food, you know, waiting table on him, whether it was literally angels showing up caring for him, or just that picture of we're going to keep going, you're going to be provided for in your ministry, mm-hmm. in your mission going ahead. And then, yeah, we just talked about, for us, what does that look like? And how do we trust the Lord's provision? The enemy wants to deceive us, think he's not going to provide for us. How do we keep trusting? And then seeing that's the way of victory, as we keep trusting in the Lord, even though a lot of times we don't see exactly what he's doing. His timing's not always our timing. Things, of course, still go against us in this world, but we keep trusting the Lord, and that at the end there's victory in that. We see it with Jesus here in the desert, but ultimately, of course, in the fact that he's been raised from the dead, ascended now to the Father's right hand. So, we talked a lot about that provision piece, really, and what that looks like, not just for Jesus, but for us. And then, of course, how Jesus is our ultimate provision, right? He's doing this where we can't, how he's going to go to the cross and refuse any angelic help once he's there, because he needs to go through that for us. So that's the heart of it too.
Yeah. And you started out with a bit of an analogy, kind of talking about escape rooms. Just refresh our memory on how you covered that.
So it's not like any analogy or metaphor.
A little full part of it, sorry, yeah.
But maybe there's some good connecting points. I've done these. I don't know if you have, if you're listening. I remember doing them. There was one right down the street from us in Zealand. We went there, and typically, you know, it's kind of a puzzle, right? And usually you go in groups, and they kind of give you all these clues around the room, and you got to figure out this one and another. And then so you can get out of the room eventually. There's all kinds of themes in that. But the point I was making is they give you what you need there. Sometimes you're unsuccessful, right? They give you usually a time, and sometimes even with all the heads in the room, you don't get out. But you know, what is needed is there to be able to get through that. So that was kind of the connection of God provides what we need. And in the ultimate sense, because sometimes, yeah, things, I fail in my business or I get sick, I'm not going to get better, that kind of thing. But ultimately, he gives us what we need to get through.
Yeah. Well, and I love that first off because I love escape rooms. So I've done only 12 in the last 6 years, right, which one every 6 months is way too little. Like, I freaking love these things. I could go to every escape room in the state and still need more.
Yeah.
So I really connected with that. But one question I had that kind of inspired for me, because, you know, in an escape room, either you don't make it out, and, you know, that's sad. You don't, you know,
they
you
let
have,
you out.
They'll let you out. You have the sad signs, yeah, you know, all that stuff. Or you make it out, it's successful, it's, you know, whatnot, super happy. And we always love that, you know, we're like, oh yeah, God's got a plan, he's going to make a way, we're going to, mm-hmm. you know, get out and make it through. But it's not always that. Our expectation for what it means for God to provide doesn't always match what the reality would look like.
Right.
And so how do we go about adjusting our expectations for what it means to have God's provision in challenges?
It's a really good question, and I think you're right. So often I enter into a situation, whether it's financial, maybe it's relational, maybe it's with health, and I have an expectation of what I want to happen. I want to get better. I want to have this income, whatever. And so that's the expectation that I put on God for how I want him to provide.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. The problem is sometimes that's not where things are going. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we just don't see what's best for us either. I might think, like, this relationship would be great for me. And God's saying, man, that's not going to be good. But I don't see it that way, of course. So that, I think, how do we, try to see a little more clearly as much as we can and are limited. Certainly spending time talking to the Lord about it, not mm-hmm. just saying, well, here's what I want, so go to work. But just wrestling with him. And as we go along these paths, sometimes in different situations in our lives, I'm talking, okay, God, what are you doing here? I'm seeing now it seems to be going in this direction. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. What are you working? And that's part of trusting him that, okay, he's got something in mind. But you're right. In this life, you know, things we know, as much as we don't like to face it, unless the Lord returns, right, we all pass away in this earthly life. We believe then he's going to bring us to himself and eventually give us new bodies, too, at the return of Christ. But that means in this life, yeah, sometimes I'm not going to get better from this illness. Or, yeah, maybe this career path isn't going to work out the way I had planned it when I was in high school or even after. Or this relationship's not going to quite work out. Doesn't mean that God's not providing for us. But he might be providing in a way we weren't expecting or we weren't looking for. And I think sometimes we talk about church, we talk about community a lot on this podcast for good reason.
Almost like it's really important.
It's a subject. Yeah. Well, but that's a huge part of this too, because when we go through those things, a big part of the way God provides in my experience is, oh, I know Austin's walking with me as I'm going through this disappointment or pain or whatever. The church is there. I think about, you know, I have the privilege of walking with families with funerals a lot of times. And thankfully, a lot of times, yeah, with faith involved and families talking about how there's grief, but there's also the provision of hope and peace. I mean, they would have loved to see the loved one keep going or not have to deal with what brought them there. And yet you can see God's provision in the ultimate promise, of course. That's really where he's pointing us, but also in carrying us. And then seeing how that, and this usually takes time, you know, Austin, we talked about it many times, I know, here, like some of your personal experiences in an immigration setting. Didn't enjoy going through that, was not asking for it, that's certainly. But now, even already, a couple years out, you can minister to others in that way. And maybe not necessarily in that situation, could be others too, because you can be empathic. You know what that's like. And so that's some of God's provision, not even just for you, but then for someone else. So I think it's trying to see that bigger picture, which comes from, being connected with him in prayer, being in the Word. And we mentioned a few other stories. Elijah was one, with being fed by the ravens. Well, I didn't say this, but Elijah was basically done when that was going on in 1 Kings 19. He's done, you know, everybody's out to kill me. There's nobody left. And God's, you're like, no, that's not true. You have more work to do, you know, and he feeds him there. But that's, we get in those spots and it's really hard. And we don't always see the big picture, but we need to be in that conversation. And sometimes you need to be reminded, even Elijah struggled with it. Even, go down the list, Abraham, Peter, they all had moments where, man, I'm not seeing it. What's going on? They get kind of despondent and God needs to remind them. No different for you and I. And so I think that can be helpful, too, to keep searching with him, keep looking.
And I love that idea of, again, looking at the picture of what will happen later. It's like, again, like, yeah, you know, we went through this immigration thing, and now later I can help. And so having that hope for the future is really important. With that, though, like, when you're in the moment, like, obviously you're not seeing that. And, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, Abraham raising the knife, you know, just getting ready to sacrifice his son. Mm-hmm. Like, that is something I cannot begin to comprehend. And so I guess my question on that side would be, when we are in the moment, it's like, yeah, it's one thing to have hope for the future. We need to have hope for the future. Because, you know, that's kind of what the whole, you know, Jesus came to redeem us, redeem our souls, our world.
Yeah.
So we have a hope for the future. But we are not always able to live in the future because we live in the right now.
Right.
And so in the right now, how can we hold on to that hope and that perspective?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting for Abraham because there's moments before that, Genesis 22 time, where he didn't trust the Lord's provision, right? Yes, God had promised, I'm going to provide a son for you. I'm going to do this and that. And then some years go by and they say, well, let's do this ourselves. Here, you know, it's not working with me, Sarah. Try my maidservant.
Which is just also just wild to comprehend.
A little different.
But anyway.
It's not different, but But there's a picture of, like, not trusting. And then now Isaac's been born. And I think that influences, like, I've seen God's provision before in a pretty powerful way. Mm. Obviously, they were quite old and not expecting to have children. And God's done that. I would love to have more text in Genesis 22 to be Abraham gets that message and, like, he written a psalm or something, like, wrestling with the Lord about that. Because I'm sure he was wrestling even as he was trusting. But I do believe he's been influenced by how he's seen God's faithfulness to his word and his provision even before that. This was going to be a new marker as well as he trusts. I mean, the book of Hebrews says that he trusted that God is going to raise him from the dead if he needed to. He must, you know, he said this before. And I think that's we can rely on, too, the promises of God. The enemy tries to get Jesus to kind of use that as his own initiative, but it is there. You know, God's going to look after his people. He's not going to let his Holy One see decay. And again, we believe that eternally, but we do trust God's word. I think that can help us in the present moment because, yeah, sometimes we're walking into a very stressful situation where we don't see where the provision's going to come from. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do for work.
Yeah.
I don't know what my health's going to look like because I'm not sure what this is, right? We have members right now going through tests and that for cancer stuff, and they don't know. And so I think I don't want to overestimate Abraham's faith. He has great faith. He shows it there. Nor do I want to underestimate the faith that you all might have in walking through these things, right? You might not have your knife raised, so to speak, over the son of promise that was finally given to you. However, walking forward, when you did get a cancer diagnosis and not knowing where that is, but you continue to worship and you say, well, let's see what's going on here. We're going to investigate. That's walking in faith too. Even as you're dealing with all the emotions with the Lord and processing that with others, you know, not just, you know, kind of completely blowing that off or giving up on the faith. That's a step forward. That's saying, okay, I'm going to go forward. The Lord will provide. I don't know. Maybe that will be on the other side. But I think I don't want to underestimate the faith that you might not think you're showing, but you are in so many ways as you walk through different things in life. So,
that's also, you know, that that gift of perseverance too. I think a lot of the time is really tied into this because, you know, it's holding on, persevering. You have this knowledge, but it's just continuing to take every single small step forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, one of the things that I find the most encouraging in that is just be like, listen, I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other and we'll see what happens when I put that foot down.
Yeah.
And not even think beyond that. Hold on to the future hope.
Right.
But also keep an eye on where am I at.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Because it is one thing to trust, you know, yeah, God's got my future. I believe all the things he says about that. But right now, boy, I don't know what's going on. And yeah, I feel pretty insecure in the moment. Right.
Yeah.
And that's, and sometimes we need to express that. You know, we've been going through 1 Samuel in our evening series. And, you know, David writes some psalms connected with those chapters. And it's like, well, this is a pretty insecure moment. Last week, we were before the Philistine king. And he's they realize, like, hey, this is David. You know, he's the king of the land. He's killed a lot of Philistines. And he's like, oh, boy. You know, so he stacks crazy, right? It's like he writes the psalm about that. But it's a very precarious moment. And there's trust there, and he expresses that trust in Psalm 34. He writes, but it's also like, hang on, let's see what happens. So,
and then on the other side of this, so we go through these moments of trials, testing. You know, we come out on the other side. We're, you know, ideally we're more healthier, we're better. We're trying then to try and help other people, try and make sure that, you know, we've made it through. Let's help other people make it through. And one of the ways that, you know, I saw that with, you know, that's tying back to the angels thing. And we talked a little bit about this, I think it was 2 weeks ago. But one of the temptations that the devil had for Jesus was, hey, listen, you have this power now. Like, you can do, you know, being God,
right?
He can command his angels to do whatever he wants. That is something within Jesus's power to do. And so when we go through situations, on the other hand, we're like, okay, I want to make sure that other people don't have to go through these situations. When we have the ability to influence things, it can be incredibly, you know, and it's really good, honestly, a lot of the time for us to say, hey, I'm going to interfere, step in, like, hey, we're going to not do that. Or we're going to do it a different way, you know, trying to influence, guide so that we're not everyone's having to go through this. But obviously we can see there's a temptation there, the temptation to use that power, that influence on our own time, on our own schedules, and not letting, as Jesus did, like, no, God, you know, God's plan is a little different. He doesn't want me to display my full power now.
Right.
But it's a huge temptation for the church, and we're starting to see this influence part of the Western church here, where there's this thing to say, you know what? We have power. We can do things. We can fix things. Let's go all in on that. And that can be really good on the one hand, because we don't like a lot of these there's harm happening.
Sure.
On the other hand, part of the temptation of power is the abuse of power and using that power on my own schedule. And so there was this quote from this guy named Pastor Tony Perkins. So he's the president of the Family Research Council, which was started over 40 years ago by James Dobson. It's kind of like the advocacy wing of Focus on the Family. And he said this, we don't want a leader who will turn the other cheek. You only have two cheeks to turn, after all. We want someone in charge who can punch back. And we're not going to get into any of the politics of any of this. That's not, people do not tune in here to hear us talk about politics. There's a billion other podcasts to do that. But I really want to hit on the faith element of this, because this is a pastor saying, hey, we have power. We want someone who can hit back. Mm-hmm. I guess my question on that is, how should we respond to that, especially in light of, you know, Jesus' provision that we see in this section?
Sure.
And how do we make sure that when we do have the ability to influence, that we're not doing it in a way that's counter to God's design?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. And you understand the tension of wanting to not see injustices, wanting to see things going the right way, wanting to see things as we think they should be in the world. And the feeling at times, I'm sure a lot of that coming from that quote, even coming from a feeling like, oh, we're losing some of those things. And so we need to fight back to regain ground, so to speak. I think what always helps me as far as being reminded of when we read scripture, almost all of it really is written to the church,
mm-hmm.
and is about, you know, people in the church, in God's people, you know, Israel in the Old Testament, the church at large, Jew and Gentile in the New Testament. And so often we want to take that word and take it right to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And not just even in witness, which I think is appropriate, but also in discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think we get into trouble, because there is a space for Austin and I, or you, us at Friendship Church, or if you're listening from another church within the church, to talk about, like, how are we doing things? And I think that's a proper, if you want to call it use of authority, and we can misuse it this way too, but say, hey, if we're not doing it the right way in the church, that's always what God's addressing in scripture. He's always talking to his people. In fact, sometimes we see in Paul's letters, him saying, like, well, I'm not talking about somebody in the world. Of course, they don't believe in these things. They're not professing faith. They're not going to live this way, but you in the church profess Jesus, right? So I think sometimes we're trying to bring the church and our belief structure and our moral practices that we're called to, right? That living the life of service, and foist that on people, a lot of who aren't even saying, we believe this. Why would we do this? We don't believe what you believe. And that can play out in a larger cultural sense. So that's maybe just a fundamental piece that sometimes I think we try to apply things to the world that should first and foremost, and maybe only even, apply to the church. I think secondly, we do need to be very careful about how we're using our power. You mentioned the second temptation, at least in Matthew's order of it. And the really just, why don't you take this at your own initiative? You know, so yes, clearly Psalm 91, you know, he will not let your foot strike against a stone. Like, well, let's see it. And God's going to see Jesus through all harm. Of course, he's going to raise him from the dead even. And he's got a new body. And but in that moment, it would have been Jesus saying, like, oh, yeah, how about now? Give me that assurance. Let's do it on my timetable, my plan. And so I think for us, just, you know, keep it here at our church, right? We're talking about outreach, and we're making plans and thinking about that, and all good. And we're going to be making connections. But we have to always be listening to the Spirit. And, you know, what is God leading us to? Because, again, it goes back to that expectation piece. Well, this is the plan we laid out, and we want to see it in this way. So if it's not happening in that way, we just got to press harder. And you could be pressing people into things that, you know, they're not willing or able to do. You could be, again, starting to take and say to people, like, you need to be this way, even if they haven't already come to faith in Jesus. And yeah, when we have a certain amount of power, whether positionally like myself or maybe culturally, I mean, in West Michigan still, the church has a decent amount of influence, right? And say so. And certainly if they get together in ways. And so how do we use that, right? How does Christ use his authority, which is quite telling, not just the turn the other cheek, but I mean, Philippians 2 and this whole passage of didn't use the fact that he's God himself, something to be used to his own advantage, something to press. He used it to serve, to give life. He emptied himself, going all the way to the cross. And so I think for us that especially when we do have power and position to first and foremost show service from that role. How are we serving those around us? How are we seeking, again, love, which we always come back to, but how do we love others? Because that's how we should be leading, not pressing advantage, not certainly not forcing or trying to force someone into our thing, not saying to God for sure, well, this is our timetable. You better make it work. So that's, I think you're right. We can get off. God gives us opportunities, certainly, and we need to look for where the Spirit's leading and his power's at work. You know, just heard a testimony the other day of one of our members, you know, who works in the prisons and multiple baptisms there. That's God's power at work and following that initiative to be part of that. And but yeah, you try to force that and it wouldn't work. It wouldn't be good for the long term. And, you know, you can't just force people into that. So I think while I understand the sentiment of like, you know,
or let's use it
on even just, yeah, like we want things to go. I think behind that is often like, yeah, we want to see, we want to honor God even. Mm-hmm. We want to see more people worshiping him and people living in his way. We want to see that in our town and our country and all these things. But yeah, we have to follow the Lord's initiative and his leading and use whatever authority and power is given to us in his way. I mean, that's a very clear teaching. Because the disciples struggle with it. It's not just new in our day. But multiple times, even after they've been told, they're still like, well, let's see who's going to be at a higher place in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Sit at your left hand.
Yeah. Jesus is about pulling his hair out. I'm like, again, sometimes right after he tells them what he's about to do. I'm going to the cross. Like, oh, that's great. But we have this question. Can I be on your right? I'm a little better than this guy, right? And so, yeah, this isn't anything new for us as human beings. We like power. We like to think we're pretty powerful and awesome, and we like to wield that. Mm-hmm. And we have to be aware. We don't lead as though, or we don't use our power as the world uses its power. That's what Jesus says. You don't lord it over each other like the Gentiles do. So
I really like that reminder. We don't use our power the way that the world uses its power. I think that's so important for us to keep in mind just whenever we're, whether it's, you know, the power of me getting in the car and driving to work. Or, you know, I'm not going to be cutting people off so I can get there a little faster. Or, you know, whether it's something on a larger scale. I really like that reminder.
And it's the same thing. I mean, Rome was the power when Jesus came to earth and was doing his ministry. And I think some of his, you know, as he's about to go to the cross and he's at the temple and he's making those statements visually and verbally, some of that is to say to those leaders, yes, you see issues with what's going on here with the Roman Empire and the world at large, but you're trying to fight back with their weapons, and that's not good.
Yeah,
that's not what this is about. And Jesus is showing, of course, God's way of doing it. And that's probably, in some, what we need to watch out for. We see issues in the world. We see things they're doing, maybe to Christians even, and but the danger comes is then we're going to fight fire with fire. We're going to do battle with the world with the world's weapons. And that's always a mess. And again, you go to David and Goliath. It's the same thing. David's like, no, I can't wear this worldly armor stuff. I just got to go out with what the Lord gives me. And that's, I think, bottom line, what we need to be reminded of because it's so easy to get off track.
Yeah, thank you for that. What are we looking forward to this next week?
So this coming week, we're still going to be in Matthew 4. So obviously, we're in the last verse, Matthew 4:11 there. He's coming out of the wilderness, Jesus is. But then he's going to go right into mission from there. And this is Palm Sunday. And so you think about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and he's really making the statement there, the kingdom of God's coming, right? I'm the king, right? And he's coming into Jerusalem. But that's really what he's doing as he comes out of the wilderness as well. He starts preaching. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here, is drawing near. And so connecting with that, as he comes out of the wilderness, it's time to proclaim the kingdom, to say that's coming. And what does that look like? What does that mean that the kingdom's coming? And how do we live in that proclamation that this is on the way now? knowing that, yeah, that's going to be rejected by some. Jesus comes into Jerusalem and they take his life 5 days later.
Yeah.
But also the reality of, yeah, the kingdom is near and is coming in full. So, yeah, just seeing that, it felt fitting to kind of continue in the Matthew 4 story. And even just the hope as Jesus is going to go to kind of the borderland, the margins in Galilee, to proclaim that message and what that means. There's hope for the world. Yeah. The kingdom's coming. So.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you for taking your time to answer all these questions, Dan. Thanks to all of you for listening. Again, if you have any questions you would like to have asked, feel free to shoot them to me in an email at aslater@friendshipcrc.org. We'd love to ask them. Blessings on you all this week, and go in peace.